This morning we have a passage of scripture that is a little odd, and you will see why. It's from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. It says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you. And Jesus replied to him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, and whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother. This is the word of God. May God add to our understanding of this word of abundant life. Amen. We're going to be hearing some beautiful extended music from the choir, and just wanted to share a somewhat abbreviated message here before that this morning. We have this passage, and in just hearing it, you don't need to be a great biblical scholar to notice a couple of things. One, if you were to read what happens just before this part, you'll notice that it's a very, very high stress time for Jesus. He's being scrutinized, he's being tested, he's being challenged, and all on a life and death stake level. And so we take this into consideration, I think, in terms of what he says, for one thing. And the second thing is you really only have to have, I think, about a modicum of human empathy to know that Jesus' response here to the simple observation that was made, telling him, you know, your mother and brothers are outside, to which in response Jesus says, who is my mother and my brothers? And whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and brother and sister. You got to just be a somewhat barely sensitive human being to know that those words would hurt his family. Right? And yes, we get the spiritual point that he was making to the crowd that, you know, he loves everyone and everyone who does, you know, God's will is yes, extended family. Wonderful point. But to his family, right? To his family, those words are kind of dismissive. And devaluing and rejecting. And at bare minimum, his family, who was standing outside waiting for him, would have, I'm sure, at least just rolled their eyes, going, my gosh, would you believe this? You know, here he goes again, right? You know, he takes a simple observation of us being here, and does he really have to make a theological point about everything? You know? And at maximum, they would have been, you know, they would have been pretty hurt, I think, going, seriously? I mean, we are here after all. You know, we are supporting you. You know, we don't need to be here. And you do this in front of everybody. How about a little thank you every once in a while? How about something like that? You know, you think it's easy being the brother and mother of the town controversy? And, you know, you're so understanding, Mr. Understanding, with everybody else. How about a little bit this way? And, you know, obviously, yeah, they would have wanted to be understood, right? Because they're people. And it just reminds me of the old saying that, you know, the ones who you love the most are the ones who you tend to hurt the most. And I think that that's the way it is sometimes with families. With family in general, fits into this category. You know, families, wonderful. What a gift from God. But we know that they're also, you know, they can be tough. Right? Families can be a little tough. Because it hurts when there's this group of people who knows you the best in so many different ways, and yet sometimes things are said within families without thinking, or people should know better. Sometimes they do know better. You know? Families, people within families, we know what buttons to push, don't we? We know exactly what buttons to push. We know the things to say. We know that, you know, a little raised eyebrow at a certain, you know, at a certain point in time, you know, to the right person, or, you know, a reference to some past event. And this is between siblings, between, you know, parents and children, between spouses, part of the family. We know push each other's buttons. You know, why does this come up at Thanksgiving? You know, sometimes our families are wonderful and sanctuary. Sometimes our families, you know, they don't listen to us the way that we would like to be heard. Sometimes we feel like, you know, people feel like our friends listen to us better than our own family members. Give us encouragement. Better than our own family members. Sometimes things are said within families that friends would never dare say to each other. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any friends left. And it hurts when our family, who is supposed to do these things, who has the opportunity to be the group who loves us the best, doesn't pull through. People say a lot of times it's people growing up, and you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's the dad or the mom who's, you know, respected at the office, and you come home and you go, what's going on here? Why didn't my family validate and respect who I am? For kids, you know, why don't they respect, you know, I'm growing up, for God's sake. That's not who I am anymore. You're treating me like I was years ago. It's one of the reasons why Jesus said in a different part, he said, you know, a prophet's not without honor except in his own hometown. Our families many times relate to us and you know, almost feel like would keep us in a box in certain ways. Relating to us in terms of who we used to be, in terms of instead of who we are now. Instead of giving us wings, put us in a box. So, well, we believe that our family should know us, love us, the most intimately, better than anybody else. Regardless of how old we are, sometimes we can get hurt. So that's why, oddly, I thank God for this passage. And I love our scripture, because this, which is almost a throwaway line, is included in the body of Holy Scripture. And when you hear it, you know, you go, that's just something not quite right about that. And you're right. And you go, what's going on here? And so, for as bizarre as it seems to be, while this could have been edited out, and with a stroke of a pen, you know, just kind of make everything pretty and nice and eliminate awkward parts and so forth, it's included as sacred, as holy, and it offers us an honest view, reality-based, of spiritual teaching. And a couple things that we can learn about how to love the most fully. This is something, because it's in Scripture, that God wants us to be aware of. That's why it's there. Sometimes I even wonder, you know, I don't know, did Jesus do this on purpose just so this would be coming from him and we would get the message, you know, a little clearer? I don't know. But sometimes the way Scripture works is that sometimes we're given positive examples. And sometimes we learn from human error. And who better than Jesus to show us this one? Because with anybody else, I think we could too easily dismiss this. How wonderful is it to hear that this happens in the Holy Family? Isn't that interesting? Things that need to be forgiven, learning points, not perfect. And I'm just going to say in conclusion, abbreviated message, four things to notice. The potential goal, number one, and will of complete love while being within a family, we realize that mistakes can be made and will be made. If it happens there, it's certainly going to happen in our families. Two, this is what apologies are there for, right? And asking forgiveness. And how that is a beautiful part of family and love and offering forgiveness. Even parents to children. And I think about this, and sometimes parents don't apologize to their children, thinking that it will weaken their authority or something like that. Not apologizing doesn't mean that you're always right. Not apologizing doesn't mean that you're maintaining authority. It means that you're stubborn and not fully loving. Because everybody makes mistakes. Not apologizing teaches your children, A, not to self-evaluate, and B, that apologizing is embarrassing and a last resort and not to be done. And that's not love, that's not healthy relationship, and that's not in 1 Corinthians 13. So the passage here is not for embarrassment, but it's here for our spiritual growth and nourishment. And that's why I think, I don't know, maybe Christ did it on purpose. I wouldn't put it past him. To open our hearts. Because when we see this in the Holy Family, we know it's awkward. But it's here to encourage us to be kinder. To become more forgiving of others. More forgiving of ourselves. And to go, yep, made that mistake. And if Christ can inadvertently hurt those who love him the most, then we can certainly cut our own families a break, I think. And allow more chances. And so, God, I just want to say thank you for this. And may you work on our hearts, and may we receive you working on our hearts and our minds and our love. And may we actively work on our hearts and our minds and our words and our care and grow into the fullness of family love as God would ideally have us be, giving extra doses. Extra doses of patience and kindness and healing and forgiveness and welcome and listening and speaking the truth, but only with love. They're brothers, sisters, parents, children, spouses. May we as families and even as a church family be a sanctuary. God, how do you want me to be in this family? God, how shall I love in my one sacred human family? And may we enjoy this season and all of the opportunities that we have to practice this. Amen.
Let us pray.
Loving God, as we enjoy this time of gratitude and as we fully embrace that and get ready to turn the corner into the season of Advent, this time that's so full
of traditions and memories and new beginnings. We pray that may we hand in hand with you welcome this new season for our lives, not just on the calendar, but for our lives as we step into this time. As we step into it with so many feelings and emotions and hopes and concerns, as we experience the high energy of anticipation of what's to come and realize that our anticipation also may come with a sense of caution for safety, for wanting to enjoy but not wanting to be overwhelmed. And so we come with hope. And we come asking you to please shepherd us through this time and through our lives, knowing that, no, you've never promised things to be problem-free. But you do promise, God, that when we walk closely with you, that when we regularly return to you as our guide, as our strength, as our source of love and justice and renewal, that regardless of the times, that regardless of the challenges of the day, that with you we can and will take whatever life gives to us, whatever challenges, whatever materials of life that may be at hand, and with you to use them and turn them into good. God bless you. That's what we do. And that's what you do with us, God. That's what happens when we walk with you and we live in faith. And so with your love, with our prayer, in our friendships, with our families, with our joys and challenges, may we embrace what you have given us in this way, in your love, in your strength, in your spirit, in your service, and in your joy. And as your people, this we pray. Amen.